I was 3-time Super Bowl winner with the San Francisco 49ers.
Twice in one day. Can we handle this?
I know. Yeah, we're going to spend all day together, man. We got radio here for 3 hours, then television, inside college football. So I appreciate you hanging with me, not only today, but tomorrow as well.
Sure, yeah. I've been doing this for a while.
Yeah. You got it down.
Didn't realize how much I missed getting up at 4 or something in the morning.
Well, we're bringing it all back to you.
There you go.
And you still in the swing of it? No troubles waking up or any of that thing?
Nah, but it's early. It's first day.
Yeah, there you go. We'll see if we can double up on that.
Less perky tomorrow.
We're coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And we got some football to discuss and a lot of different variables to the football that's going on these days. The Monday night game, of course, last night with the Dallas Cowboys, my Dallas Cowboys, and the Arizona Cardinals. That's like a home game for the Cowboys when they go out to the desert. So many Cowboys jerseys out there. We got some baseball to discuss, some college football. Butch Jones going off with the media. Everybody's going off on the media these days.
Why not?
Brian Kelly a couple weeks ago. Now it's Butch Jones's turn. And Jim Harbaugh back in news, ripping facilities at Purdue and all that stuff, and we're going to share a little music with you. We had another rendition from Rick Neuheisel this past weekend. No, I'm the DC.
That's one of the highlights of actually working on Saturdays is I don't have to listen to that.
You miss it, man. Come on, that's your brethren, UCLA brethren.
Oh, I love them. I love them about as much as UCLA loves defense.
True that. True that. What is going on with them getting whipped up owned by Stanford, and they have never beat them as long as Jim Moore's been there. Jim Jr. has been there. He has not been able to find a solution to that Stanford problem. But all that coming up on the show, even some hoop talk. Russell Westbrook, he had all the media avails yesterday. LeBron James and his take on Kyrie Irving, who's now his former teammate with the Boston Celtics. So a lot of good stuff. But let's start with the Cowboys last night. Didn't start off too well for them. Looked like they were going to be down 14-0.
Looked like an extension of last week.
Right, exactly.
That's exactly what it was.
And you, all-pro center, guard, and college football Hall of Fame, offensive lineman. This offensive line for the Cowboys that everyone loves to hold as the threshold of what it should look like at the NFL level, I'm not seeing that thus far. There were times in the game, yeah, they held up pretty well, but for the most part, they were under duress, or at least Dak Prescott, their quarterback, was. If not for his athleticism, that would have been another sobering loss for my Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, you think you're disappointed. Imagine if you were Zeke Elliott.
Yeah.
He's used to a little bit better treatment from that O-line. They're probably, and there aren't a whole lot of them. I'd say 5 good offensive lines in the NFL. Really solid. And they're one of them. Easily one of the top one or two. Last week, they got used. Beginning of this game, they got used. They figured it out. You know, I think it's one of the things when you look at those guys, they've spent a lot of draft equity, a lot of money, a lot of everything else. And that keeps those Cowboys popping, too. Because if they can run with Zeke, I think Dak, people are underselling him. Like they want him to be in a sophomore slump so bad they can taste it. But the offensive line's going to need to give Zeke a lot of support.
Well, I would agree. You get that running game going, and that opens up everything. Any quarterback will tell you that. Any offensive coordinator will tell you that. If we have some balance.
Even linebackers know that.
Yeah. I learned the hard way. Damn, they're running on us and they're passing on us. It's going to be a long afternoon or a long night. And early on, there were no holes to speak of, but Dak using his ability to get outside the pocket. I mean, the guy's so strong, and he's got a great foundation and so much athleticism, spinning out and running to his left and still throwing the ball on a dime while running to his left. He is, and then you see him running to his right. He finds Bryce Butler, who I believe is going to become one of the focal points of this offense. We discussed last week how
Son of Bobby Butler, by the way.
Is that right?
Former Falcons corner.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah,
okay,
he went to high school right near where I live.
Okay.
He was unbelievable. He went to Norcross High.
Cool, yeah. I'm familiar with Norcross High, and and Butler came over from the Raiders a couple years ago, and he just had the dropsies when he first landed with the Cowboys. But last night went up and made some great catches. He's got that long, lengthy body, and I've been looking for him to become a breakout player because he has everything you want, the size, the speed, athleticism, and I've never been a fan of Terrence Williams. Well, I thought I was a fan when he was at Baylor.
Yeah.
When they were posting crazy numbers with all those wide receivers.
It's amazing when they actually have to play against adults. They play a little different.
That's true. Because how many of those Baylor receivers now, and there have been a number of them, and Williams, I think he went second round, but there are a lot number of them that went first round and haven't done a damn thing at this level.
They perform in the pros kind of like Texas Tech quarterback.
There it is, right?
Not much.
Yeah, I think this Mahomes will break the mold as far as that concern is concerned. Patrick Mahomes there at Kansas City. But Butler's stepping up. We discussed Dez Bryant and how he didn't show up in that Denver ball game a week ago. He actually talked about that as well. I'll be back. And I just don't put him in that number with the elite guys in the league, like a Julio Jones down there where you reside, like an Antonio Brown. Those guys each and every week.
That's the key, consistently. Yeah. Dez can be as good as anybody in the business, anybody out there, as good or if not better on any given week. But, I mean, guys like Julio spoils people.
He strikes fear in you. If you're a defensive coordinator or a secondary, that has to strike fear in you when you're getting ready to take on the Falcons each week.
If you're a corner, you're a little 10-year-old schoolgirl if you hold them like six catches and 50, 60 yards.
Right.
That's a celebration.
Yeah.
You take the whole family out. Riblets all the way around.
Yeah, we held him in check. He only had 50 or 60 on us, and Green Bay has been trying to solve that puzzle as well. When they took on the Falcons 2 weeks ago, that was the big question mark. Okay, do we roll coverage to him? Do we just leave our guy out there on an island? They've tried everything and still haven't come up with the elixir to stop him. But back to the Cowboys, the Cardinals about to go up 14-0. They take that score off the board. Then they miss the field goal. We were just talking about Phil Dawson. Hook 'em horns. We were talking about Texas kickers and old kickers.
Yep.
And I was giving Phil all his love. We were trying to figure out where he was and found out
now
he was
with
the Cardinals. Yeah, we know.
Hopefully, that's where he is for now.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say. Hopefully he remains there even though he missed that field goal last night. But we know how this business works. So the Cowboys get a gift there by keeping them off the board, and then from there they were able to right themselves somewhat. But I tell you who's been phenomenal all three ball games this season, and that's DeMarcus Lawrence. Now, I presume you called some of his games when he was at Boise State.
Yeah.
Because this guy, he's dealt with suspensions, and he now looks the part. He looks like he's ready to take this defense over. They were looking for some pass rushing, and they have gotten it. They have found it with DeMarcus Lawrence. No one can block him.
He's coming from the left side.
Yeah.
Defensive left. So the offense is right side.
Right.
Which is a little unusual.
True.
Usually you put the big dog over on the other side. That's where most of your big ones. But I felt bad for Jared Veldheer. He was at the Raiders originally, signed a big free agent deal. He's a left tackle. And suddenly now he's a right tackle going against this guy.
Right. He would have thought he was getting away from.
He looked like a fart in a whirlwind.
There it is. Yeah. There you go, Jared.
Did not look good. Not at all.
I haven't seen anyone be able to block DeMarcus Lawrence. Even when they had a three-man line out there last night, they were still getting to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Whether it was Malik Collins, whether it was Crawford, and of course Lawrence lived in there in the backfield of the Cardinals. Three sacks on the night. I think he had about six quarterback hits or hurries. I mean, he was outstanding. Now, something I wanted to A topic I wanted to broach with you was Carson Palmer, because my partner, Gio, who you're sitting in for, he seems to think this early season that Carson Palmer had lost it, and just don't want to pin this on Gio. A lot of people have been saying that off the heels of last year and how they finished and then coming into this year. He looked fine to me last night when he would step up in the pocket. He was throwing the ball well. There was velocity on the rock.
Yeah.
He still has Larry Fitzgerald, who doesn't seem to have lost a step whatsoever. I mean, that one ball he took away from Scandrick over there on the sideline was just a tremendous grab. So what's your assessment of Palmer and his abilities now at age 37?
Well, he can throw the ball as well as anybody. That's part of the issue. He's a pure, at this point of his career, a pure pocket quarterback. he'll scooch around a little bit. He's not as good at it as Ben. Mm-hmm. Ben's the best in the league, is just not really running and moving, but just kind of scooching and avoiding the rush.
Right.
Palmer, he can gun it. You saw that.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's the fourth quarterback ever with over 100 touchdowns and with two different teams. They can be really, really good offensively if they can protect him. If they can't, you're going to see, and you saw a little bit of it last night, if they can't protect him, they've got huge issues.
I love their game plan, even as a Cowboys fan, because I like Bruce Arians.
Yes.
And they came out and they wanted to attack the weakness of the Cowboys, which right now is that secondary with all the injuries they've sustained back there. But those guys stepped up, man. They played well. You know, Jordan Lewis, the rookie, and you, of course you got Jones back there, former number one pick out of UConn. You have Brown. Those guys, Heath as well. They, early on in that contest, they were taking it on the chin. But they seem like they righted themselves and started feeling a little bit more comfortable going up against, you know, John Brown and Larry Fitzgerald. And so I thought the defense availed themselves pretty nicely, especially on that back end.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Because you look at these new offenses, or the current offenses in the NFL, and probably the two hood ornaments for that whole idea are the Patriots and the Falcons, who run so much crossing stuff.
That's what you cats used to do.
Oh, yeah, like
confuse
crazy.
Me, the 49ers. Which way did they go? If you guys, and I don't want to cut you off, but the San Francisco 49ers used to run about five or six plays. Yeah. That's it.
We were a lot easier to find up front than those guys on the outside.
Yeah. Five or six plays, but you'd run them out of so many different formations, and they'd confuse the hell out of you.
Oh, don't let Bill Walsh hear something like that. He had 105 plays.
Right?
It's his story, and he's sticking to it.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, as far as that goes, you get those crossing patterns, and you saw them really, really work well with Arizona. That's what Bruce Arians was doing, and that's what Bruce Arians did in Pittsburgh when he was the OC with Ben. And you saw those offenses almost looked interchangeable last night. Suddenly you just take Ben and put in Carson Palmer. But, you know, the Cowboys – you still got Witten. You still got Elliott. You still got Bryant. You still got somebody else is going to rear their ugly head. Well, last night it was Butler.
I hope it continues to be Butler because I like everything about him, the size once again. And if he gets over the drop season, he definitely did last night, he can be a huge force.
They'll be back.
Right. And it's interesting. I don't recall Witten getting a reception last night. I hope he did because he had some like a long streak.
Record.
Did he get one? I know they targeted him a couple of times, but I'm not sure. I have to look up the stats. I've just now been able to get my computer up. But speaking of the Steelers, I wanted to bring this up to you a couple weeks ago, and I forgot because one of my former teammates, Nolan Harrison, of course, who's now at the NFLPA and handling the retired players portion of the PA, he put up a clip of you calling one of his games back when he was with the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And so to hear you talking about Nolan, and of course you were praising him, he tripped into a tackle or something like that. But he was reminiscing about taking his daughter back to a Steelers game because that's where she was born there in Pittsburgh. And clip of you calling the game.
That's so, what I like. He's a Raider. He's not a Steeler.
Right. I know he's a Raider. Yeah. I agree. Okay. Yeah. We were in the same rookie class.
All my memories of Three Rivers, all those great Steeler teams. My butt. You're a Raider.
No. I think he finished his career with Washington, too, after the Steelers. But, I agree. We were in the same rookie class. So that's why I know Nolan so well.
Good
there
guy.
They're with the Raiders. Yeah, excellent
too
guy.
Too bad he works for the PA.
They're better now. They're much better now.
That's a relative term.
I'm the skinniest kid at fat camp, right?
That's right.
Trust me. I've been sifted through everything they send me, and I've come to the realization that they're much better than they were when I was playing and when you were playing, and there's a better relationship between them and the current players. Randy Cross sitting in for Gio this morning. Gio's still doing his moonlighting. Couple studios over, be doing that all week. So Randy's going to be here today. He'll be here tomorrow. And you can catch us also tonight on Inside College Football on the CBS Sports Network. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk some more football. Speaking of the Steelers, Alejandro Villanueva. Not Villanova, Villanueva. That's his name.
Alejandro.
Alejandro, you called some of his games in that Army?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you had the big
guy. Back when he was a wide receiver.
Wide receiver, exactly. And then they turned him into
Coach Ellerson. Coach Ellerson figured he'd put a guy 6'9 out there. And, hey, if nothing else, red zone, throw it up.
Right. Yeah, I remember those days. So we'll get into all of that when we come back and talk some more about protests and Ben Roethlisberger and his change of heart and Cameron Haywood along with him there with the Steelers. But first, here's the truth. Many of you have simply had it. You struggled with pain long enough and you want what I wanted, a 100% drug-free answer to your pain. For my answer to pain after a professional career in football, yes, of course, I'm talking about Relief Factor, but the really big news is that anybody struggling with pain can lower or even eliminate your pain with this wonderful product. My problem was a little pain in my elbow. I have no idea where it came from, just out of nowhere. So about 2 months ago, I started taking Relief Factor, and the pain has been eliminated. It is gone. I would feel it all the time in my yoga classes, Randy, do those yogi push-ups. They call that chaturanga.
Chaturanga.
Yes, that's it, baby. But no more pain when I do my chaturanga. Maybe you'd like to play golf or tennis again without pain or take those nice long walks again. Or how about sleeping through the night without pain?
What's it do for the pain of listening to you read this?
Nothing for that.
Oh, okay.
Neck, back, shoulder, hip, and knee pain can be simply awful. Here's what I suggest. Go to ReliefFactor.com, order the 3-week quick start, a super value of just $19.95, so you can see if it will help you. You, like me, will find out that it does. ReliefFactor.com. Call 800-500-8384. Go to the website again, ReliefFactor.com.
Talk to Gio and Jones now, 855-212-4CBS.
We got an update coming up from Mr. Brad Heller, who he went down to the Deep South, Rand, and watched some college football this past weekend. LSU and Syracuse, your alma mater hung in there.
They really did. It was really a surprise. It was, I think, 21-3. So everybody was like, all right, you know, it was a good for a half. We gave them a game. But fourth quarter got interesting. It was a 2-point game, and LSU had to convert a couple of first downs to seal the game.
So what was the atmosphere like? Because I've heard, Brandon, I don't know if you've gone.
I've been there.
On a night.
I bet they were mad after that game.
Yes, they were. It was there were some grumpy, some nervous fans. They were concerned about Syracuse because I was telling people, like, go easy on us, go easy on us. Like, no, you guys are going to give us a game. And it's a nighttime in Death Valley is a sight to see for sure.
That's what I hear. One of these days I'll get to partake, and I'm close to picking Syracuse in an upset this weekend versus NC State. You know, NC State's coming off the.
You think they'll have a letdown?
A big win.
Yeah, a big win at Florida State, and they could possibly have a letdown. The dude spitting on the logo there.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, that was so gross. What was the kid's name? Chubb?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man.
We overthink that picking stuff.
Yeah.
Way overthink that stuff. Yeah, Mississippi State, they look so good. Boy, they're going to kick Georgia's butt. Yeah, we were close on that.
Yeah, that we were real close. I think we all were in accord in picking Mississippi State and being fooled. But, Brad, don't fool us with this update, my man.
All right, guys, we'll start with the pros. Monday Night Football, big fourth quarter last night for the Cowboys.
And it is first and goal at the 8. Elliott with a handoff coming to the right side. A block from Collins nearing the goal line. Touchdown, Ezekiel Elliott.
Brad Sham called the Cowboys Radio Network. The Cowboys outscored the Cardinals 14-3 in the fourth quarter on the way to a 28-17 win in Arizona. Dak Prescott, 2 touchdown passes. He ran for another. Dallas is 2-1. Arizona 1-2. Other NFL news, Eagles running back Darren Sproles done for the season. A torn ACL and a broken arm injuries he suffered on the same play.
He may be done for good. I mean, Sproles is no spring chicken.
At his age for an ACL, that's not good. Right. That play is not fun. You can watch that one time.
Yeah.
Hey.
I mean, one of those injuries is bad enough, let alone two
right.
on the same play. It's just, you feel for a guy when that happens, for sure.
Why are you laughing then?
I'm laughing because I feel for him. It wasn't me. I mean,
he says I'm feeling for him, but
yeah,
dang.
I'm giggling. Glad it was him, not me.
Obviously, I can't relate, but that's terrible.
Oh, okay. Now you want to be all
serious. You never know. You're not out of here yet.
That is true. On the same update, 2 injuries on the same update. All right. NBA training camps opened yesterday. First time LeBron James addressed the Kyrie Irving trade publicly.
The only thing I'm upset about is that he took a lot of the DNA and the blueprints now to Boston. That's the only thing I'm upset about, really. Other than that, I mean, I wish the kid great health. The kid wanted to do what was best for his, for his career. And you know, I give credit to, you know, our GM, you know, Kobe, and our to the ownership for granting that for him.
As for Kyrie now with the Celtics, he said any conversations he'll have with LeBron would stay private. Baseball, Aaron Judge breaking Mark McGwire's rookie home run record, numbers 49 and 50 in the Yankees' 11-3 win over the Royals in New York.
It's been an incredible ride this whole year. I can't thank my teammates enough and this organization for, putting me in this position. I'm blessed to be here to get a chance to play this game every day. So it was an incredible feeling.
Yankees not out of it yet in the AL East. 4 games behind the Red Sox, 6 to go. Boston lost to the Blue Jays at home, 6-4. The Cubs' magic number down to 1 to clinch the NL Central. They routed the Cardinals in St. Louis 10-2. In the wild card races, Rockies lost to the Marlins 5-4. Colorado's lead on Milwaukee is a game and a half. The Angels lost to the White Sox 4-2. They fall 5 games behind the Twins for the final playoff spot in the American League. Gentlemen.
Thank you.
Where?
Come on, Randy. Speak for yourself, man. I'm a gentleman sometimes. We're going to let Heller get out of here unscathed, so that makes both of us gentlemen, right?
Exactly. Well, there's still 2 more to go. Exactly.
Well, I said right guys, now.
Right
yeah,
now.
I understand you're going to be returning. So
I can relate, though. I went to one of those basketball schools, too. Good in basketball and football.
Oh, you're talking about Syracuse?
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, y'all were good in football, weren't
well,
you?
Well, I was there during the McNabb years, so that football at the time was better than basketball, and then things have shifted, and I don't know if they can ever get back to that level.
You don't look that old.
Thank you.
Damn, that's right. That was a while ago. What year was that? When was McNabb there?
McNabb finished in 98.
Yeah, you don't look that old. Way to go, man. Keep doing whatever you're doing. Yeah. Like leaving me alone.
All
bye.
Right. Bye.
See ya. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate that, man. So we had the game last night. We've talked a lot about what happened, what occurred on the field. But prior to the Cowboys-Arizona game last night, there were a lot of deliberations between the Cowboys and Saturday, according to Jerry Jones and head coach Jason Garrett, about what they would do to show unity in light of the comments by the Grand Berther. And they decided that they would kneel right before the anthem was played, and then they would stand up and lock arms in a show of unity. And so that's exactly what they did. And Jerry Jones, he went on to explain after the game how they came to that resolution.
The entire players, the coaching staff, our organization said, well, let's first walk out there. And it was this organization's. It was our idea. And we did alert the NFL what we were going to be doing, but we planned and was executed according to plan that we would go out and kneel in prayer or kneel and basically stand for and make the statement that regarding the need for unity and the need for equality. Then we immediately turned around, stood up, walked over to the sideline, and that big American flag that came down that field, and we stood and all stood toe out on the field and recognized and respected the American flag and the national anthem.
I don't know what to make of what I saw last night. I know everyone's trying to find the right mix of protesting the injustices that occur in our country, and they are real. And you're also trying to showcase that you love your country. And this is, in my estimation, I've said it numerous times here, the greatest country on the planet. It's the only one I've ever known. Yeah, I have a home in another country. Mm-hmm. But I am so grateful for the opportunities that I have been able to take advantage of. And it wasn't handed to me. I had to earn it. That just drives me crazy when I hear those detractors of these players say, well, they're ungrateful, as if something was given to them. You earned your scholarship to UCLA. I earned mine to UCLA and to the University of Texas. No one handed us a damn thing. You earned those Super Bowl rings when you were out there on that field, playing through pain, playing through broken bones, playing through concussions. No one said, hey, here's a Super Bowl championship just because we like the way you look. And so trying to find that balance, strike a balance, while this has never been about denigrating our military or our flag, it's been to draw attention to a situation out in larger society. I still don't believe that we're there.
No, we're not. It's the thing is, the vast majority of people out there look at the kneeling during the anthem, and it just doesn't sit well. It doesn't fit their brain, if you will. Now, that's mainly because no one, at least initially, really went to the sort of trouble of explaining, here's what I want to do. Here, and Colin Kaepernick probably in this whole thing, he's looked better and better as everything's gone along, because I'll give the guy credit. He's put his money where his mouth is. He's put his time where his mouth is. He's gone out into the community. He's worked. I give him 10,000 times the credit than I'll give most of the current players and people that consider this a protest, because they haven't done that. And if you want to enact change, get out and do something. You know, it's the least I can do is to kneel and bring attention to. Yeah, well, you know, it's just not how people see it, though. That's the problem.
Right. If you're complaining, but you have no solutions, you're just complaining.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. And for those who say it's the wrong platform, well, maybe it is. Yeah. But you know what? It got us to talking about it.
Well, they're going
to
take care of that real quick.
Yeah.
Because real quick, it's going to be exactly what it was like when you and I were playing.
Yeah.
And
we were never out there.
The national anthem will be the last thing that's done before the teams take the field.
Exactly.
And they won't have to worry about this PR problem. I've got, you like conspiracy theory.
Yes.
I've got a perfect conspiracy theory in this whole deal. I think Donald Trump and our president did his fellow billionaires a gigantic good. A gigantic, here you go. Because that whole story about Aaron Hernandez and CTE came out last week. I think it was last Thursday. That was making football look bad. All last weekend was going to be about CTE, the death of football. Don't let your kids play this game. Blah, 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 blah. It would have been incessant. Every little guy with a microphone, like Bob Costas in a bad wig, would be out there talking about the game of football is dangerous. Can we really have our children? And you know, everyone said, oh, well, Robert Kraft said stuff pretty strong. Well, of course, yeah. He set him up for it.
You think so?
I'm just throwing that out there.
I hear you.
That's one of my – I looked at it at first. I went, well, I don't believe in coincidences. And especially with people that are very, very wealthy and have great PR people behind them, and they know how to move and maneuver the news. And they just maneuvered the hell out of the news away from any issue that's negative about the NFL and football.
Changed the narrative. But even though there are those, the detractors who will see this as being a huge negative. Now, I'm going to push back because he's saying, don't watch the games. He also said, you know, just turn it off.
Don't watch it.
So that's not doing those billionaire buddies of his a favor if you're telling the fans not to tune in.
How'd that go?
Oh, it's not. You're going to do the total
ratings?
Opposite.
Oh, yeah. They had a little bit. Ratings were down a little bit, but.
No, they were up. The last I saw.
There was a gazillion different channels.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And you had great games. Again, last night, a very compelling matchup. And so the games, if. You have games like we witnessed this past weekend. We're going to tune in and we're going to show
up. They're confident. They know about their product. They don't mind somebody saying that because people aren't going to just not watch.
No, we need our football. We definitely do. Alejandro Villanueva, who we discussed in the last segment, offensive tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers, was an Army Ranger.
Yeah.
He served over in Afghanistan. And we've been looking at this young man since his days there at West Point playing for Army, and he came out yesterday and gave a lengthy press conference and just talked about the angst he felt he and his teammates determined what it was they would do to show their unity and also show their appreciation for our country. And he, after some reflection, felt like he let his teammates down. And then they all had agreed that they were going to stay in the locker room, just remove themselves from the whole situation. He decided to go out and stand in the tunnel and just in view of the flag, and that's exactly what he did. And so he came back yesterday and felt like that was the wrong move. He put his head coach, Mike Tomlin, he put his teammates, all those guys in a bad position because he was the only one to go out and stand for the national anthem. I didn't see it that way. I had no problem with Alejandro doing what he did, and that was a difficult situation for him to be in. You want to be with your brothers in that locker room, but you also want to stand there and show your appreciation for a flag for which you fought under in foreign land. So while I applaud what he had to say and how much he said he felt embarrassed.
Hey, when it's all said and done, going back into that locker room and having to go nose-to-nose and explain to James Harrison what you were thinking, as hazardous as some people might think that is, they don't know jack about hazardous.
Right.
This guy has seen up close and personal what hazardous really is. He's had friends die.
Yeah.
So, I think it's unfortunate that he got put in that position. And when I first heard that Mike Tomlin was going to do that, I thought that was the best thing he could have possibly done. Just take it away. Make it a non-issue. They're not even out there.
Yeah. So we've got some sound from Big Ben and also Alejandro Villanueva as they discuss this situation.
I've made Coach Tomlin look bad, and that is my fault, and that is my fault only. I've made my teammates look bad, and that is my fault only. And I made the Steelers also look bad, and that is my fault and my fault only. So unwillingly, I've made a mistake.
That was Alejandro Villanueva talking about making a mistake. I don't see it that way. He should be commended for his service. And I understand the situation. I would like to think I can understand the situation he was in. And you want to be there for your teammates, but it's those other teammates, too, he had prior to those Steeler teammates. Those are on his mind, were on his mind as well. Big Ben. I didn't feel the same way when I heard Big Ben talk about this as I did with Alejandro Villanueva.
Yeah.
Because we've seen Big Ben number of times now reverse course and where it seems like it's all about him. And
not as much as Odell Beckham, but close.
No, oh, God. No, don't even get me started on that diva. Oh, man. We're going to have to rip. Do I have to rip him again? I ripped him during preseason acting like a drama queen, and here we go once again. But before I go
what on. What did Ben have to say?
On that rant, let's just listen to Ben Roethlisberger.
I wish that we would have been on the field. That's just my personal feeling on it. I'm entitled to that opinion. That's what's great about this country and what the troops are for. I wish we could have stood out there, but what was important was being united as well, and that's what we showed. We showed unity because that's what we need in this country right now. There's so much division. We need to stay together. And, so all in all, that's what we stood for.
Okay, Ben. All right. You know, he wishes he had done something differently. You're one of the leaders on that team. You're part of their leadership council.
Yeah.
I would hope you would have professed that when you guys were deliberating what it was you were going to do, and now to come out after the fact and give that full-throated endorsement of being out there on the field, it just looks a little self-serving to me.
Yeah, having gone through two strikes in 82 and 87, that was all Bill Walsh asked of the team before we left on strike. He goes, I don't care what you do, but you go out as a team. You come back as a team. Don't be trickling back. Don't one or two. I mean, do it all together. Talk about it. Decide what you're going to do and do it. From that standpoint, and that's really where Alejandro's coming from, I believe, in listening to his comments, is gosh, I wish I wouldn't. And in his heart of hearts, a guy that's got that military background, his intent, or at least I read into his intent as being going into the tunnel, being there, still not being out on the field, but not sort of disrespecting the process that he spent so much time defending and whatnot, and just being out in the general area. Now, as soon as it's surrounded by cameras, now you're trapped. You're not going back in.
Right. But he mentioned that as well. I was thinking, do I go back in now? Yeah. And there's no way he didn't turn around and go back into the
good on him. Fantastic. I understand every reason he was out there. And good on them. On them. They're going to beat the rest. They're basically beating the rest of the league to the issue.
Yeah. There you go. We're going to discuss Mr. Odell Beckham and his just ludicrous excuse after excuse after excuse for what amounted to imitating a dog on a fire hydrant.
Just a reminder, professional athletes are like entertainers. They're not to be emulated outside of their venue of expertise. Mm. If you can play like Odell,
yeah,
great. Emulate that.
Yeah.
Do you want to be the same kind of person? Nah, you really don't want to do that.
Not right now. Maybe he'll evolve into someone differently down the road. Like, yeah, we all have to evolve. I'd like to think I've evolved a little bit. If you want to join the conversation, hit us up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Randy Cross joining me this morning and tomorrow morning, sitting in for Gio and Jones. This is CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Please give me some 60s at night.
Okay, I'll 50, give you that.
50s, 60s right at night.
All right.
Get those cool evenings.
Yeah. I'm down for that, but I want it warm during the day. Keep it warm.
It was hot in Atlanta yesterday when I left.
How hot?
90?
Yeah. Yeah, I was in Florida last weekend. It was 90 something.
And humid?
And humid. Very humid. Yeah, I feel you. Speaking of being hot, Odell Beckham, he runs everyone hot. I mean, not only does he run secondaries hot because they can't catch up to him, but his antics. I went off on him a couple weeks ago when he got hurt in that Cleveland preseason ball game and he injures his ankle. He gets up, collapses on the field. They get him to the sideline. He jogs to the locker room. Before he gets to the locker room, he collapses again and acts like he's in writhing pain. And like, this guy just won't stop. He's a straight-up drama queen. Then you have what you had in the game Sunday versus the Eagles. And, yes, I'm cool with the league now allowing these guys a little bit more leeway in their celebrations after a score. But
for the, like, more creative among,
right,
them.
Right, yeah. Evan Ingram took it too far, grabbing his crotch, his
you
first
think?
NFL touchdown.
You think?
Yeah, you know Marshawn Lynch. And now you have Odell Beckham doing what he did and changing his story. That's what really bothered me. Man, just stick to it, you know.
Because it got better.
Yeah, it got better, right? He went from, hey, I'm a dog. I was doing what dogs do.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's what I was doing.
And then I guess someone suggested to him that he was maybe urinating, and he said he was urinating towards the president or on the president. Is that where the story is now? I mean, this guy just will not stop.
Yeah. Well, it's just when you think there are guys out there across the board that will always consistently think before they whatever. You're reminded in instances like this, you know.
No,
they can't be trusted.
No, not at all.
Imagine, though, if you're the PR guy for the Giants. You know, imagine if you're a front office person in that organization and you just, oh, yeah, uh-huh. Well, yeah, tomorrow, 8:30 is the meeting. Could you please have him come in here about 8:20? I'd love to talk to him for 5 minutes. Yeah. Again.
Now, and I'm sure you've had teammates. I know I've had some that just can't get right, can't get out of their way. Mm-hmm. And it depends. That guy's going to be around if they exhibit the type of talent that Odell Beckham has. There's, you know, you're not getting rid of him. I mean, he's going to have so many different opportunities to screw up because they affect change so much against your opponents that you just have to give in. You can talk to him as much as you want, and you're hoping at some point it resonates. But the immense talent that they possess will force you to hang on to them until you can't.
Well, I'll give you a great analogy from college football back in the day. Jim McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
Jim McMahon was not the ideal model citizen for the Mormon community at BYU. But they put up with him until his eligibility ran out. Then right after his eligibility ran out, they told him to run out. Go. Get away. You're not going to stay here. You're not going to finish here. Take whatever you need and get out. And it's the same with people. Players can't complain that that's how they get treated after the fact.
Right.
You can't be treated as an adult, and you wonder why this whole celebration rule. And I love some of the stuff they came out with. You know, score a touchdown, you know, old lineman shooting the basket.
Right.
You know, the Falcons thing.
Yeah.
Or
Tony Gonzalez used to do it and get fined for it.
Yeah. All the great deals they had in the end zone, those team group celebrations, those were wonderful. They were so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
And then you get this, and then now this makes all those owners, if it was a 50-50, If it was 16-16 vote, they were split down the middle, so they decided to open it up. You just took three votes over to the nay-nay side.
Yeah.
Said, no, okay. No more of that garbage.
No, you played with the great Jerry Rice and scored, I think he may have scored more touchdowns than anybody still, right?
Yeah, to this day. some teams
have
less touchdowns than him.
Exactly. Now, I don't recall his celebration or whether or not he had one. He's not like a really. Barry Sanders, just hand it to the official, yeah. That was it, or drop it.
Yeah. You know? No, he would take it, do something. He'd spike it, drop it over his shoulder on the way back.
That's right.
I mean,
yeah.
That would be about it.
Like Drew Pearson would do that as well, just wrap it over his shoulder. I got some calls on the line. The number 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Chris in Pensacola, CBS Sports Radio. What's on your mind, baby?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great.
Good to be here. Hey, I'm just I'm a little bit frustrated with the demonstrations against the national anthem, or during the national anthem, I should say. I think where they got it wrong, and it started with Kaepernick, is anything that you're doing to make these demonstrations that shows a sign of like a lack of unity, or kind of represents a short of unity in the country, i.e., sitting down for the national anthem or staying in the locker room, I think that's a complete disrespect to the country. And really, just it's just an inconsistency, almost like we're saying two wrongs make a right. I just think it's completely inconsistent, and they need to take another stage something positive.
What stage would it be?
Something else that says, hey, we're going to come together and do something that that directly combats the, you know, the injustices in the country, and not try to do something that it represents a lack of unity sitting down for the national anthem during a game when arguably this is one of the biggest American dreams is playing ball, making money. And I come from a unique angle. I was a ball player, baseball, basketball, a little bit of football. Didn't make it to the pros, obviously, but I also am in the military. But I'm speaking from an American standpoint today. Not really as a military member,
mm-hmm.
More so just, hey, if you want to make a stance against something, I'm all for the, you know, freedom of speech, First Amendment. But listen, do it in the right aspect and have the right message.
Well,
right? It's already been that misreceived.
Well,
a bunch of people.
Chris, thanks for the call and your service. And I think there are some, and I'm not saying you're in this number, but there are some who want to deflect and can't get past the fact that it's done on this stage. But would we be talking about it if it was done differently? Would we be talking about it if Colin Kaepernick had not sat and then knelt on the sideline along with Eric Reid, who put out a great op-ed, if you get a chance, find that. I believe it was in the New York Times yesterday, a former teammate of Colin Kaepernick's, and he was one of the first to kneel with him. We got more calls on the line and more to discuss on this subject matter, so bring it. Randy Cross sitting in for Gio. And more big fun. We got to talk about some baseball, my man Aaron Judge. 55-0, baby.
And how about them Dodgers? 100 wins. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All that, a lot,
at least
lot more.
We're in the playoffs, DJ.
That's right. Big Dodgers fan. We'll talk about that on Gio and Jones coming up next.